glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Sets the vilest sinner free. Let me read you a couple verses. Genesis 8 and 4 through verse 12. And the ark rested. And the ark rested. It rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters, once the ark rested, they decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, and on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days, that's the completion, that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried upon up from off the earth. And also he sent forth a dove from him, and no doubt at the same time, to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him unto the ark, because it was resting. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf, life plucked off. So Noah knew that the water was abated from off the earth. He knew by the green leaf that things were peaceful. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. I want to borrow the Apostle Paul's title here, the rest of the story. Yeah. Y'all know that Apostle Paul, don't you? Yeah, Paul Harvey, that's his last name. And I want to talk about the real rest of the story. Lord, I'm thankful for a place called rest. I'm thankful for the story as well, but without the rest, what would the story be? And I'm thankful, Lord, that you called your people unto a place of rest in a very turmoiled world. We can still rest to the very end because we have you. And if our ark will rest, then our spirit rest. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I better quit praying. You may be seated. I'll give you my sermon while I'm praying. I was thinking about what Brother Valentine said about the love of God and the grace of God. And don't jump out of your pews when I tell you this. But God is promiscuous. Now, we normally think about that in a lewd way. We say, she's promiscuous. What that means is she's easy. She's free. She's easy to get. That's the love of God. That's the grace of God. God is promiscuous. You want some of this? Come get it. He that thirsts, let him come. Hungry? Come on. Got no money? Come on. Freely give. You want it? It's yours. You see, that's what we need to understand about the love of God. And so we need to love our neighbors like God loves us. You see? Neighbor says they're sorry. Hey, no problem, man. Need anything else? Let me know. Help you. Free. When it's freely given to you, what are you supposed to freely give out? Where much is given, much is required. What you mete out is met back to you. So I'm thankful today for God's free love. I want to talk about the rest of the story. Every story that you'll ever read has to have a rest. Even music has these signs. You just can't jam it all together. You got to have some rest notes in there somewhere, you know. Life has got to have rest. I remember when I was going to dental school, I was 8 years. I'd gone 7 years, and I was in that eighth year, and I was doing really good. I mean, I was making great grades in dental school, and then all of a sudden, you ever heard of burned out? Two of the easiest courses I was failing. And you can't pass the school, dental school with one F. No, you can't. And so the teacher came to me and he said, Baggett, he said, look, I went back and looked at your transcripts. He said, what is the problem? He said, you're failing these two courses, which he gave both of them. And I said, doctor, I'm going to tell you, I'm burned out. I'm tired. He looked at me, shut the door with nobody around. He said, I know what you mean. Been there and done that, got the T-shirt. So he said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, just don't tell nobody. So don't tell nobody. He said, what I'm going to do, he said, I can't just pass you. He said, you understand that? I said, why not? No, I didn't say that. So I said, okay. He said, but I'm going to give you some assignments. He said, you just go home, take your time, open book, and just answer these questions, and I'll pass you. Well, I didn't tell nobody. When I got through with those two courses, I made two B's, and there were people making C's and D's. I found the place to rest. I had gone about as long as I could go, as hard as I could go, as far as I could go, and I finally ran out of gas. And thank God for a man that had mercy and grace and care and been there and done that. I'm going to help you find a place. God's been there. He's done that. He knows what you're talking. He knows when you say, I'm tired. God, I'm weary. I'm weary. He said, I know what you mean. I've been there too. So I'm going to help you find a way to rest. My burdens are what? Easy. They're light. They're easy. My burdens are light. It's not me that's burdening you down. That's what he's trying to tell you. It's not me that's getting you tired. It's the world that's wearing you out. And it's the cares of the world that's wearing you out. So I want to talk in this story of Noah the ark is perhaps one of the most important points in this story is the word rest. It's because the world was having unrest. It was restless and wickedness and there was no rest for Noah's weary soul. And so God was going to find a way to create rest for Noah and the creation that he had and restore rest that he God rested. He worked 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested, and he put that in the law that on the seventh day, he sanctified that day and set it apart. Say, this is the day you quit working and rest. And the truth is, and I know what it's like to work, just like you do. And so, the world gets Saturday, and they get Sunday, right? And this is what kind of prompted me to think about doing two services on the Sunday morning rather than having two separated. And a lot of you drive a long ways to get here, a lot further than I do, some of you, 30 miles, 40 miles one way. And so you come Sunday morning and we have a little service and you go all the way home. And you're driving more than you're here. And there's nothing you can do in between. So when do you rest? Okay, so Saturday you got to mow the grass. So the world takes off Saturday and Sunday, and they do their thing. They go fishing. They do whatever they want to do, and they rest. They go to work Monday morning. But what about us? And so we have to remember, if we don't get, can't tell your boss, hey, I want Fridays off now, because we're having church all day Sunday. So I feel like the Lord has given us a way to find that we can rest. Are y'all enjoying that? Now, I know Sister in the back, she's not enjoying it, but that's okay. You're outnumbered here. So... But it gives me time to rest. And we went bowling. You was there. Don't act like you wasn't there. And last time was 57 people and 40-something this last time. It's really a different crew this time. It's like they're taking shifts, who goes which time. But we had a great time, and we rested. And we enjoyed a fellowship and company. It didn't take away from anything. So anyway, this is a whole other story. But I just think we have to find a way to rest. Because I'm going to show you in the scripture that you can wear yourself out trying to live for God. Wear yourself flat out. So when we look at the story of Noah, it really consisted of three parts. There was the going in. Watch this. Genesis 7:7, and Noah went in. He goes into the ark, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Into the ark because the waters of the flood, either they were fixing to start, or he knew what was coming, or he's like, we better get in. This water's getting deep. But whatever the case may be, it was time for him to get into the ark. You can build an ark and perish. Never get in it. You can know the church and never get in it. You can be inside the church but not really be in it. You can do all the praying and fasting, paying your tithe and not be in it. Speak in tongues, fine, and not be in it. So there comes a time of getting in it. And so Noah got in it. And then that's the going in. And then there's the shutting in. So when you read in verse 16, and they went in male and female and all flesh, and God had, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. There's got to be a time you're shut in with God. And we call that discipleship. You know, when I take people and I try to teach them, I want them as far away from the world as possible because they're not ready to go back into the world and be around people so that they still got desires. They still have things in their lives that are attractive to them. And so there's a time you need to be shut in with God. There's a time you need to dig into prayer. You need to dig into discipleship. You need to dig into the Bible studies done. God needs to shut you in and shut the rest of the world off and get a relationship with God. And then there's the time after the shutting in. You know, we still have to live in this world. He told his disciples, it's a wicked place, but I didn't come to take you out of the world. I came to bring you through the world. So we can't stay shut in forever. We can't. It's great to assemble ourselves together, but then we got to depart and go out into the world, right? So there's this time of going forth. There's a time of coming in, a time of shutting in, and there's a time of going forth. So we read in 8 and 18, and Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. So all those that went in and stayed in, and sometimes the Lord has to shut us in lest we get out, then they all go forth at the end, and Noah builds an altar and makes sacrifice and restores peace and harmony with God. The earth is now at rest. It's at rest. So that now the wickedness has abated. So Noah built this ark to escape the unrest of the world. However, listen close. Even though he got in the ark, there was still turbulent waters. So that you can be inside a boat and be throwing your guts up. Don't think that when you get in the church, it's always calm. Don't think as soon as you get in the church that your world is going to be still waters. Noah's a rocking and a reeling and the world had an effect. And if we're not careful, the world will still have a major impact on your relationship with God. You can go, you know, if you've ever been seasick, you don't care about anything. I mean, you don't care about anything. And that's what happens. You're in the boat. Great, you're in the boat, but you're sick in the boat. And so many times, and am I making any sense? You can get inside the church and be sick of the church. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of that. I hate that song. I hate this. I don't like that. And you're sick, but you're in the church. Because everything's a rocking and a reeling, and you're never satisfied with anything, blah, blah, blah. There comes a day. I'm preaching to somebody, I feel like. There comes a day that you got to get over the sickness, this motion sickness, if you will. Because you can be, again, in the church and sick of everything that goes on in life. Your job, I'm sick of my job. I'm sick of these finances. I'm sick of my marriage. I'm sick of my children. I'm sick of this. And you never find any rest. Yeah, I'm in the church, but man, it's miserable. And so that's not what God wants. And it's important to know when to get out of the boat. You see, Noah got in the boat, the waters were rising. But if he had got out too soon, he'd have drowned it and the waters were receding. He still could have drowned. It's important to know when to get in the boat, how long to stay in the boat, and when you can get out of the boat and still function in the world and have peace and rest too. All right. So we live in a world that's very wicked. However, I can't get out of the world. I'm not trying to get out of the world. The truth is I'm enjoying living in this world. But I'm not part of this world. So after this boat quit reeling and rocking and all of this, the Bible says that the ark rested. Right? So when the ark rested, Noah rested. When the boat hits the land, the seasickness begins to subside. So you ever can get the things of the world to quit rocking your boat and just get to a place where things are stable in your life, you know, you probably can get out of that boat. And I'm going to show you what I mean in just a minute. So Noah, he says, maybe it's time to get out. So he sends forth these two birds. Now watch closely, because the two birds represent something. He sends forth a raven, which is a ravenous type of bird. It feeds on dead things, decaying things. It's what the evil spirits, it's that wicked-looking bird. And he also sends out another bird, which is the dove, which represents peace and tranquility and just, you know, just a symbol, if you will, of God. Because it was not the raven that lit on Christ, but it was the dove that lit on Christ and said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." So the dove represents a spirit, and the raven represents a spirit. And so inside of all of us is a raven and a dove. Inside of all of us, if we're not careful, we can have this ravenous spirit and this hateful spirit and this critical spirit, and you never find anything right about anybody, and you're just feeding on dead things. If you don't have nobody to talk about, you don't have anything to talk about. That's the truth. Some people, they can't be talking about somebody and what's going on, what they did and what they said. They don't have anything to talk about. But the dove's not like that. The dove's got a gentle spirit. It's got a meek spirit. It's got a kind spirit. But inside of all of us is both of these. Which one are you? It depends on what you want to be, because you've got both of them. We can be either one. So he sends forth these two birds, representing kind of like a king and a fool. Inside of all of us, there's a king and there's a fool. David played both parts. He knew how to play a king. He knew how to play the fool. But which one are you doing? And so the Bible says that the raven did not come back. And the reason it didn't come back, it had plenty to feed on. It was lighting on dead bodies and eating flesh and all these kind of things. But the dove flew around and said, "Oh, this ain't for me. Baby, I ain't lighting here. It's as foul. This is not where I belong." You see, the dove won't go where it doesn't belong. He said, "I'm going back from the place I came. I'm going back to a place of peace. I'm going back to a place of rest." And so he flapped his little wings, or her little wings, because she found no rest for the sole of her feet. She said, "I'm not lighting anywheres around here." And that's the way it is. So he come back, and Noah takes the dove and pulls her back in to this place of rest. And he lets her go, as I've read to you, the next time the dove comes back with a little olive, or a leaf, if you will. And that was a sign. The olive was a sign of peace and victory. So he knew when the dove came back with that it was almost time to get out of the ark. And so after 7 more days, he lets the dove out. And guess what? The dove did not come back because it found peace in the world. Or you understand what I'm saying? You can find peace in the world. That no matter what's out there, there's still some green stuff out there. I thank God for the green places in my life. It's not all brown out there. It's not all bad out there. It's not all diseased out there. What did David say? "It maketh me lie down in what kind of pastures? Green pastures." He'll find those places. And he said, there he restores my soul. There's some green places in living for God. Hallelujah. So Noah went forth out of the boat after that, and he offered sacrifices unto God. And you and I have got to know when to get out of that shut-in period. It's not that you don't need to be shut in with God for a period of time, but you need to know what you can handle and can't handle in the world. New converts need to be sheltered. They need to be taken care of. They need to be nursed. They need to be separated from the rest of the world, lest they get influenced and go back to the world. And so, but after a period of time, you know what? I'm not interested in a beer or a cigarette or any, I'm not interested in that. Neither was I when I was a kid. But if you ever were, you have to be separated from that for a period of time, lest you want to go right back into it. And if you're not separated from it long enough, that desire stays there. And so we have to know how to work in life and not get